We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Michigan football is four practices into the 2022 football season. I'm going to get a chance to sit down with head coach Jim Harbaugh next on In the Trenches.
Welcome to the official podcast of Michigan football, In the Trenches with John Jansen, presented by Meijer. The former two-time captain and national champion covers the Wolverines better than anyone.
You observed it. You saw it. I mean, emulate what those guys did last year because it was phenomenal. But let's try to surpass it too. Observe, emulate, surpass.
This is In the Trenches, presented by Meijer. Once again, here's John Jansen.
Well, training camp has started, and pleased to be joined for the first time this football season by our head football coach, Jim Harbaugh. And coach, early impressions of camp. I know we're going to go deep into it, but I guess, first of all, too, thanks for joining me and your first impressions of camp.
First impressions of four after four practices is that we're further ahead than we were last year at this time, especially on defense, more installed, more coverages, more fronts, more blitzes. From a conditioning standpoint, I think we're ahead from execution standpoint as well. So far, so good.
I know that, and as we talk some broad topics, this will develop over camp, but you've also had winter conditioning, spring ball, summer conditioning. Where is the leadership of this team?
As good as it's ever been. We're going to start doing some voting, our leadership council, captains in about 10 days, so... Already start looking and predicting it. It's outstanding, John. It really is. And you see that on the field, off the field, behind the scenes. Been watching that develop for a good 9 months now.
And you mentioned defensively, you've got more blitzes in, you've got more everything in. Obviously, a new coordinator in Jesse Minter, but same style of defense. Has that lended itself to where you guys are in terms of just the install?
No doubt about it. The defense didn't change. And same with the offense. Coaches Moore and Coach Weiss, co-coordinators. Coordinators changed, but the offense didn't change and the defense didn't change.
Defensively, just like the coordinator, you've got a number of positions to fill, whether it's edge rusher in the middle. I know Mozzie's back in the middle, but at linebacker, Josh Ross is in here. Where are the guys in terms of competing and stepping up to fill those roles?
Yeah, so the when you lose players like Ajabo and Aiden Hutchinson, Dax Hill, Josh Ross, that's going to be the first question. What, you know, how are you going to replace those guys? What I think this it's potential, and you kind of seen it develop before your own eyes. I mean, I really think that our defense can be better. A no star defense. I've been a part of many of them that were the great defenses, mm-hmm. and it creates more competition within the position. Guys are more hungry. Taylor Upshaw, Julius Wellscough, Mike Morris, Jalen Harrell, Braden McGregor. I mean, just right there, we're talking edge guys. That's quite a group. And then some real good young guys too. TJ Guy, Keyshawn Bennett, Derek Moore, Micah Pollard. Liking the things I'm seeing from him. So I think that edge position is going to be good. I know I judge it with our own team. We go 2 minute, get into the competitive periods. The edge rushing felt the same as it did this time last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're tough to block. I mean, so we'll keep at it. But there's some real good signs there.
What are your expectations for a guy like Mozzie Smith? I know he went to the Big Ten Media Days with you guys. He's really stepped in, at least from outside looking in, into a leadership role. Your expectations for him this year?
Yeah, really high. I mean, again, I mean, you judge against, you know, your defense, against our offense. And really the offensive line is much the same as it was, same guys as it was last year, and they've improved. But I see the edge pressure being almost as good or as good as it was last year, but much improvement in the inside. Much improvement with Mozzie Smith. Chris Jenkins has continued to just be very, very, very strong and fast and quick, and he's improved a ton. And that inside group being bolstered by George Rooks, feel like he's really coming on. Dominic Gadis is coming on. Rayshon Benny's coming on. And there's Ike and the two freshmen, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. It is better. You know, we've seen better on the inside on the defensive line as well.
You mentioned Rayshon Benny. I know that he came in. There was a lot of hype around him. How important is it for those guys to have that year in the system, not just in the system, but also with Coach Herbert down in the strength and conditioning program?
Yeah, everything going into your second year, you've done everything once. Now you're doing it again for a second time, and you know the lay of the land. But yeah, invaluable in terms of the weight room. Coach Herbert and the entire staff, I mean, they do an incredible job. And that's an understatement right there, John. I just said they do an incredible job. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
So that's all been brewing and taking place, and how that affects somebody's play. I mean, it just dramatically is how it affects it.
Junior Colson, he joined me, I don't know, a couple months ago now. This offseason seemed to go so fast. I know the expectations are high for him as well as they are for the linebacker position. What are the early indications to you as to where that position is, not just in terms of the starters, but the depth that you'll have at that position?
Yeah, very, very much on track. Junior Colson, outstanding freshman campaign. He just continues to excel, and it's not hard for him. The game wears some people out, ages some coaches.
Yeah,
and some players and some coaches it doesn't. You know, it just doesn't. And he's just got one of those. It's like he's swimming. You know, smooth. Strong, efficient strokes, and he just goes about just playing the game and getting better. I mean, some people fight the water, Some people, just making a swimming analogy, I mean,
always swimming upstream
or something. Yeah, he just always seems to be just great mental attitude, just great way about him. It's fun for him, and he goes with it and keeps getting better and better. Nakai Hill Green, also really good. Mike Barrett, very, very strong, steady, great special teams player and a heck of a good linebacker. A lot more fifth-year guys on this team. I mean, fifth- and sixth-year guys, we have 19. I mean, that's almost double or triple what we've had in the past. So, you talk about the leadership, but also just players that are good and are good at football and have stayed in the program. And we have 24 that are fourth years. Mm-hmm. It's a more veteran team than we've had in the past, but specifically linebacker Joey Velazquez, the great two sport player.
Yeah.
Had such a great baseball season. Everybody loves him. Khalil Mullings is, outstanding player, and he's playing both ways, running back and linebacker. He's one day at linebacker, one day, the next day he's at running back, then the next day he's at linebacker. Reduced his special teams load so he can get that done. And a really good freshman group, Jimmy Rolder and Deuce Spurlock have already popped through four practices. You can see they're going to be really fine players as well.
You kind of beat me to it, but I was going to ask you, because you do have more fifth-year guys, you do have more fourth-year guys, and I don't know what the numbers are compared to other programs, but do you feel that gives you an advantage going into a season when you have that much seniority on your team?
I think it does, yeah. Guys that are, they know the program, they have excelled in it, or something they really like about it, and they can pass those messages, things that they've learned down to the younger players. And even the sophomore class, I mean, it's exactly 36 players in the sophomore class, and the freshman class is exactly 36, and that's so freshman to sophomore, nobody left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's another group. I mean, it's just every class right now is solid, and they're just going about their business, taking care of their business, to my eye, thriving in the program.
When, especially with the way college football is right now, with the transfer portal, immediately eligible, NIL, all of that stuff going on, and you were a big proponent, you wrote the open letter about empowering mm-hmm. the student athlete. Why is it now that you look at your fifth-year guys, seniors, juniors, sophomores, you don't seem to be as affected with the transfers as a lot of other programs?
Yeah, we had some sophomores who were going to be juniors, or juniors that were going to be a few guys in that class, that to-be junior class. We had some movement there, but I think it really all for the healthy right reasons. They just were down on the depth chart and wanted an opportunity to get to play in games. And not that they were not good players. I mean, some really good players there. They just had a few guys at their position ahead of them. Dan Villari, I mean, you got JJ, you got Cade ahead of you. He wants to go somewhere where he can get a chance to play. Same mm-hmm. with Andre Seldon and Darian Green Warren. George Johnson, another perfect example. I mean, he's a really good player. I wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes to UMass and has a tremendous year this year. Just had some guys that were, even better at his position. So thing I'm probably most proud of is, I mean, it's healthy. It's a healthy thing. Anybody that is transferring, they're really transferring for that reason, to get on the field. And that was what this transfer portal was designed to be and to do, just create the maximum opportunity for the maximum amount of players. So, but to speak into why guys are staying, and because I think they are having success, they're thriving in the classroom and they're thriving on the field.
One of the places where you are going to have more youth is going to be in the secondary. You've also got Mikey Samra still, who is going. He's going to be playing two positions, wide receiver and corner.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what you see in your secondary, but also about that transition for Mikey going from receiver to corner.
Yeah, so he has thrived at corner, you know, to the point where he's playing 80% of his reps are on defense now and 20% on offense, and he's and when he comes back to offense, it's, you know, very smooth. You talk about where's the leadership coming from on this next team. I mean, don't be surprised. Mike Sanders still voted as a captain. I mean, it's at that level. For him, but the point that he's like 80% reps. I mean, he's looking to be a starter or one of the five, mm-hmm. at least when we go to nickel. So it's been outstanding, and the young DBs are really as good as advertised, you know, and then some. I would say Will Johnson is definitely as good as advertised. I mean, he's an amazing player. He is a great cover corner, big corner, and he's doing a phenomenal job. Miles Pollard also doing really well. Zeke Berry wasn't talked a lot about in the recruiting process, but that's a real football player as well. I mean, I kind of look at him. Maybe he's the next Rob Moore type of player. Keon Sab is really excelling. Both he and Will, just the amount of strength that they put on in one off season and endurance, is really showed. I would, you know, all those players I mentioned right there are going to play. Cody Jones is, you know, he's been one of the top performers, also a mid-year player in that freshman class. And there's, and Damani Dent and, have some really good players, Joshua Nichols and Bryce Wilcox, who walked on as true freshmen. They looked every bit the part. So that's nine.
Yeah.
That's nine young DBs in the secondary, both safeties and corners. It's an outstanding group, and can't wait to watch him get better and better every day.
Yeah, you mentioned Rod Moore. We didn't get a chance to see him in spring as he was still recovering from the season. But just how you saw him develop last year, because we saw him play more towards the end of the year, had a big hit in the Penn State game, always seemed to be in the right place at the right time. You know, what have you seen from him early? And I mean, I know it's been, what, four practices. What have you seen from early from him?
Oh, really good. I mean, we, you know, first it goes back. We teach tackling. You know, that's we have a great teach the game segment, and tackling is one of them. Just the type of different tackles that a defensive player make. I mean, Rod Moore showed up on that tape five times. You know, mm-hmm. and it wasn't on purpose. It's just it seemed that these are some of the best tackles of the season, and. Examples of tackling. Then you go back really to this time last year. Rod was not a guy that was talked a lot about in the recruiting classes. You know, with when you were talking about guys like Donovan Edwards and Junior Colson and JJ mm-hmm. McCarthy and even others. But about 3 weeks into camp, I went and checked. You know, everybody on the team. How much tape they were watching. You know, we give them iPads, how much tape were they were watching. And Rod Moore had watched twice as much as the second best guy who had watched for volume of watching tape. He was watching installs. He was rewatching installs. And I go, you know, who is this? I mean, is this guy this delusional that he thinks he's gonna be playing with some of the safeties that we have on this team, like Brad Hawkins and R.J. Moten,
right?
And Kolasar and things? I go, maybe he just is that, you know, that big of a dreamer that he's. And it turned out that he was, and that's really the first time he was really big time on my radar. Is like, here's a guy to watch. And Zeke Barrett does. I mean, that's first guy that pops to my mind who may be another Rod Moore type of guy, and Keon Sabb the same way, and Will, and it's a heck of a good group. But I mean, already into his beginning his sophomore year, you know, Rod Moore, who didn't play in the spring, had a surgery, but he's back flying around doing Rod Moore stuff and leading too. You ask where the leadership's coming from. There's a guy that you make an example to other players. You want to do it right. You want to be good. Just kind of getting to emulate the things that Rod Moore does.
Now, before we talk about offense, special teams have always been a big part of your program since you've been back here at Michigan and before, but especially since Jay has taken over as special teams coordinator. I mean, last year they were huge. You get both your kicker and punter back, mm-hmm. plus
snapper.
Yeah, snapper. You've got so much. I mean, what do you expect out of your special teams? How do they take that next step from what we've seen over the last couple of years?
And probably arguably your best player, Caden Colasar, on teams. And there's another. Don't be surprised if he's voted as a captain. You know, when we go to make that vote in a couple of weeks. I mean, tremendous leader, both on in special teams and on the defense. And another guy you always just say, hey, just observe him, emulate him, try to surpass him. And Caden Colasar, Rod Moore. I mean, there's lots of guys that you know, are great examples of that. Caden's another one, but you know, guys like R.J. Moten and a group that I mean, they love it. They attack it. I mean, you put special teams in front of them, and they attack it. They're not afraid of any challenge or any new challenge. You know, Jay's got them playing like. You know, lights out, and that was last year, and that doesn't mean anything. Last year is last year. I mean, you almost throw it away. I mean, that's like, I don't want to hear about it. I mean, mm-hmm. this is this year, but you know, you see the same kind of fervor and the way they attack everything that they do.
You mentioned, you know, you don't want to forget last year, but you don't want to think about it right now. How do you get your team to buy into last year's over? You won a Big Ten championship. This year is completely different. How do you get them to buy into that concept?
I mean, talk about we participated in the playoffs, you know, but maybe we got a participation medal that I'm not aware of, but
yeah. I mean, I don't remember them giving those out.
Yeah, we want to. You know, really just, I mean, just kind of what you just said about some of those same leaders. I mean, you observed it, you saw it. I mean, emulate what those guys did last year because it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But let's try to surpass it too. Observe, emulate, surpass.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind. With Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Offensively, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on Ronnie Bell. How excited were you to see him back on the field after suffering that injury so early in the season last year?
Really excited every day. I mean, I think he does something that, you know, that might have been worried about. Can I do that? Can I get out of this cut? You know, can I make this play? Can I leave my feet and make a catch and come down? Mm-hmm. And then just yesterday, you know, go up with another player. I think he went up with can't remember who the DB might have been. DJ Turner went up with DJ Turner, who can get up. Ronnie can get up, and for Ronnie to make that catch and then come down with the defender with him, you know. And then he did. I mean, I'd never seen Ronnie in a better mood. I mean, the rest of the practice, because he knows he was worried about that, you know, because he hadn't done that yet, you know, since having the knee injury. And yeah, he did it. He knows he can do it. And the rest of the practice, he was, you know, his mind was, you know, was very, very happy and clear.
Last year, you mentioned that it was probably the most talented room of receivers that you've had from top to bottom. This year, you're adding even more talent to that room with some of the young players. You're going to see, hopefully, guys like Andrell Anthony take a step forward. Where is this wide receiver room in your mind?
It's got the license and the ability to be the best, you know, we've ever had, better than last year, because they're all back. I mean, yeah. Ronnie Bell's back, who played the one half last year. Cornelius Johnson, you know, outstanding. A.J. Henning, outstanding. Andrell Anthony, outstanding. You talk about the great group of young guys, but I mean, it's top to bottom. I mean, all 15 are really, really good. Added a fifth year walk-on player, Zach Peterson, who's very, very, very good. Rolap Thaw, Iman Dennis, doing some good things. I think he can really be a factor on special teams as well. Roman Wilson has looked, I mean, better than he ever has. He is having a tremendous start to camp. You know, fabulous player. And I mean, they're going against some good DBs. I mean, DJ Turner, when he goes to run a 40, I mean, it could be sub 4.3. And Roman Wilson's right there with him. Those two run, you know, very, very similarly, close together. And then the three freshmen are really good. Tyler Morris doing some great things. Darius Clemens, Amarion Walker. They were all here in the spring. They had great springs. And, you know, the difference between now and spring is it's every day now. You know, there's a practice every day. There's not that spring where you get a day in between or 2 days sometimes to watch your tape, to really study the installs. You know, now they're coming like they are going to come in the season. You know, it's every day. And, you know, so far so good. I mean, it's harder. It's harder on them. And, mm-hmm. and you know, a few more mistakes, you know, being made. But, you know, it's really early in camp. And a prediction that, you know, all three of them will play and contribute as freshmen is right on track.
Your tight end position. It's a huge position in this offense. We know about Eric All. I know how much you love watching him play and coaching him, the rest of those guys. But one of the names that I keep hearing, when we talked about it in the spring game, Doug and I did, was Bredesen. How deep is that tight end group that you have?
Really, really good. I mean, the guys are Luke Schoonmaker, Eric All. You know, they're both phenomenal. I've said this, and I truly believe it. I mean, they could be two of the best in the entire country. And Joe Honingford, really, really good. Carter Seltzer, really, really good. Hunter Neff is back, who I really like. And I like him a lot as a special teams player. I like him a lot as a tight end. He missed all of last season. Matt Hibner, you know, going into his junior year, feel like he can contribute and do some very good things. The young guys, are also good. I mean, there's three really good ones practicing right now. Lou Hansen, Cole Loveland, I think is going to be really good, and Marlon Klein. And then you talked about Max. Max had a really good spring. Now, he dropped a ball yesterday in practice, and just that was like my first thought. Okay, Max, this is these come every day now. I mean, you can't be there's a lot of guys who are spring stars, but they gotta when you get into training camp, you got to put an exclamation point on that every single day. But yeah, everybody loves Max, and Max is going to play, no doubt about that. You know, how much is going to depend on.
Can he catch the ball?
Can he catch and can you just stay up with everything, you know, every single day? I mean, the physical demands, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they are at their highest, you know, during training camp. And the guys that can be there every day, you know, we call it Ted. You know, there every day. And they may not be the best player on that day, every day, but just the fact that they're there every single day, and it's going to take a bone sticking out for them to not be there. But every time you look around, you know, if it's stretch or the meeting, they're right there sitting in their chair with their pads on, ready to play. And so that is, you know, just one of the things that some of the guys who stood out in the spring have got to prove when you're in the training camp environment getting ready for the first game.
I want to talk about the talent you have in the backfield in just a minute, running back and quarterback. Obviously, a lot to talk about there, but up front, and you mentioned it just a minute ago that most of the guys are back up front. You add Ulu Uluwatimi to that group, some other freshmen. You know, Joe Moore award-winning offensive line last year. How do they top that?
Emulate and surpass. I mean, a lot of them were a part of it. A lot of them, some of them observed it, but no doubt emulate everything that they did last year and then set out to surpass it. Olu, where's the leadership coming? It's already coming, you know, from him and Ryan Hayes on the offensive line. And also Trevor Keegan, not only a starter, returning starter, is Trevor Keegan, but he's also, you know, becoming a leadership voice in that room. And he had a chance to watch Stuber and, yeah. You know, the way Stuber was, you know, a starter, a very good player, but also a vocal presence, and emulate that and surpass it, would be our advice. Carson Barnhart, also going into his senior year, should be a major contributor. Reese Atterbury got hurt in the spring, but he's had some real physical dominant plays already in the early fall camp. Jeff Percy, guy just really trying to, you know, break through. Can he be that backup left tackle? Zach Zinner has been a starter since he walked on campus, and you know, continuing to also watching him step into that leadership role and being a great example for others to follow. So I feel really good. Trente Jones had some, just A-plus reps yesterday in 2-minute drill, where it's the toughest on the tackles as you can make it. Really feel like he's excelling. So good young guys. Andrew Gentry is the one that really pops the most right now. If you said what offensive lineman could get a lot of play as a true freshman, I would say Andrew Gentry, and then Connor Jones, who was here in the spring as a mid-year freshman. He really has popped the last couple days. You can see the improvement from him as well. Alessandro Lorenzetti is doing a really good job. You talk about the athleticism, kind of reminds me of Runyon. When John was first here those first couple years, you know, super athletic. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time to put on the strength and the bulk, you know, but you know, just like John, maybe even a little better than John was when John was a freshman, but which remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Another big guy, walk-on Daniel Tarboy, is you know, big guy. But then he ran really well, passed the conditioning test, and you know, he's out there swimming a little bit for a freshman offensive lineman who wasn't in spring ball. You know the feeling. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's got a chance to be good down the road as well. So offensive line's in nice shape.
Now in the backfield, running back position, you got Blake Corum there, Donovan Edwards, Tavi Dunlap. I mean, you could go right down the list. There's a lot of talent in the backfield. How excited are you to see these guys take the field?
Well, no doubt. I mean, Blake Corum is you know, also been a, you know, he's been a star since he walked on campus, freshman, sophomore season. You know, looking for a big junior year out of him, and Donovan Edwards, you know, another star, you know, type of player, and there's star leaders too. I mean, both of those guys, Blake Corum, you know, one of our best examples of anybody on the team. Whenever we talk about practice or watching a guy, how he goes about his business in the training environment, nobody's better than Blake, and those two, you know, really are sensational. And Tavi Dunlap is a sophomore running back as well, along with Donovan. I think he's really good, and he seems to have a really locked in, serious approach heading into this camp. Excited about that. The young guy, CJ Stokes, I mean, you talk about a guy that does not appear to be a freshman mm-hmm. in any way. I can tell you a couple great stories of his play. I mean, it reminds you a lot of Blake Corum uh-huh. as a runner and as a back. I mean, you know, very, very good. And then it reminds you of Blake too, and just the way he's serious, how he approaches the game. I mean, he is locked in at all times. We have, you know, some 10 of our freshmen who weren't in the mid-year, they are taking summer classes.
Right.
And, you know, that, it fills up their weekday, you know, early in camp. And there's there's one day where we have a situation where they had to go to class, and then when their class was over, you know, sprint back down here to the building and do the last hour and a half of practice. You know, so they're missing about 45 minutes of practice. Mm-hmm. So they all come back and head out to the field and tell them, hey, you got to get tape first, you know, then stretch before you can get into the practice. And here comes CJ Stokes sprinting out. Hey, CJ, you got to go get taped. And CJ goes, I already got taped. I got taped before I went to class. I mean, you talk about a veteran move. You yeah. talk about a guy, I mean, right out of the chutes that nobody told to do that. He just thought of that. How can I save myself, you know?
How can I get out there sooner?
5 minutes sooner and get out there and get right back into the practice. I mean, that's, you know, that was huge. And then, you know, there's one other thing, kind of a, you know, we had a young linebacker that didn't really understand the rules of engagement. You know, we're not in pads, and you don't bull rush a back. We're not in pads, and the young linebacker kind of just was going to be a very good player, but you know, got a little over exuberant, and yeah, you see some guys CJ reacted with the calm and cool and toughness of a poised yeah. seasoned veteran, and just popped back on his feet. I mean, didn't go trying to throw punches and all that other crazy stuff. I mean, there's something about that young man who's he's gonna be really good, John.
Something about those defensive guys that they miss the memo on tempo of practice. I've experienced that a number of times. It seems like it's a trait that happens on that side of the ball. But
some of the best defensive players
Never get that memo.
Yeah.
They just go hard all the time.
They just go hard all the time.
Sometimes irritating. Yeah. Anyway.
You want to give them a hug too. But let's take it down a notch at times.
Yes. Yeah. Your quarterback position. There's no secret. There's a great competition going on right now. Cade is the incumbent, returning starter. JJ, very talented. Other guys in that room, very talented, I'm sure, all pushing for time. How are you going to eventually be able to make that decision?
Well, I think it's just something that is going to be a competition. We'll see it. We'll all see it unfold. Both have been in the program, over a year. That's usually what it takes to train a quarterback to play at this type of level, in the Big Ten. And they're both going to get the same amount of reps. Same number of reps. They're going to have the same number of reps with the first string as they are, as the other guy's going to have it with the first string and the second string. They're both taking those reps, and it's cut right down the middle. And they're both really good. I'd give you an analogy. I mean, whatever rate, 10,000 meters or 1500 meter race, like two guys racing. You see one, even it'd be in practice, like, oh, okay, he's pulling ahead. And then as soon as I sense that, then I see the other guy, kind of surge by him. And then the other guy kind of pulls up right next to his shoulder. And then one of them goes ahead. But it's like they're getting faster and they're getting better. There's nobody that's passing behind. Then the next day, I think the other guy's doing, he's heading, and the other guy surges. It's just going. It's like two metal, two irons, two swords that are, sharpening. I mean, as iron sharpens iron, biblical. That's exactly what it looks like to me.
When you have, quarterback's the most high profile position on the team. There's other guys that are going to be superstars, but when you have two guys of the character that Cade is and JJ is, and as you mentioned, hey, they are battling it out. How important or how much of a benefit to your team when you have a battle for the right tackle position or a defensive tackle position or a safety position? Because we've gone over all of those different battles, and it feels like you guys have a depth of talent and competition that's deeper than it's been in your time here at Michigan. And when you have a high profile position like that, two guys going at it like that, how much of a benefit is it for your team to watch those guys go through this?
Well, as I said, I think that's something you're going to see on our defense this year. That competition within the position group, guys hungry to make a name for themselves and hungry to contribute to the team. Those type of competitions are going on at other positions as well. But yeah, when they see it at the quarterback position, and they see it's competitive, not combative. Both guys, wanting to do anything they can to help the team. And they pretty much, we started camp, it was like, hey, we're splitting the reps. They're going to be exactly even now. Shake hand and let the best man win.
Yeah.
And you also heard Alex Orji talk about just what kind of room that is. It's all for one for all. Could there be a better example? I think that's your point. That's really healthy. It can't be more healthy when you see that going on in the quarterback room. That high profile.
Have you set a timeline in your mind when you'd like to be able to, at least within the team, be able to make that decision?
It could come 8-9 practices in. That's usually in the past. That's kind of when you want to really check, and if it's clear at that point, then we could have a true starter. At that point, but it may not. It may go past that because they're very they're very close. I don't think I could describe that any. I mean, one day, I mean, they're even. The next day, it's one above the other, and then it's sometimes shifting within the same practice. So we'll let it play out, and you know, there's plenty enough reps to go around, and we're always a high rep practice team, and we, you know, see how it goes. I mean, you know, there could be a clear starter by the first game, and then that's the way we'll play it. You know, they're both really good. I know that's a good thing for our team.
And last, before I let you go, this program has put so many guys into the NFL for generations. Dave Abloff just shared with me a stat, and I know he shared it with you too. 59 guys right now are in NFL training camps from the Michigan football program. How important is it for you to be able to see that number continue to grow? That's a bigger number than I think I've ever seen in the last two decades.
It's phenomenal on any different level that you could think of it as. First, you're just so excited for those guys, you know, to be living the dream, and and our guys on the team are so excited. I mean, preseason training camp time and throughout the year, you know, we love watching those guys play in the preseason, and we're constantly taking clips from what they do. Nobody does a better job than that than Jay Harbaugh. I mean, in special teams, I mean, Cleek Hudson is showing up all over the place in our special teams meetings, and so does Glasgow and Josh Metellus. And then the other level that's just is so great is just what we've been talking about. I mean, observe a guy, emulate him, then go surpass him. And that's that. Nowhere does that work better than on the level of, you know, watching guys that play here, played here, what they did. Now they're playing on Sundays. You know, observe, emulate, surpass.
Well, Coach, I can't wait for the first game to get here. I know there's a lot of work to do between now and then, but we're just excited. It's football season. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks.
I want to say thank you to Coach Harbaugh for spending time. We know how precious time is during training camp. We're going to get a chance, hopefully, before the season kicks off to get an update from him as well. But over the next couple of weeks, we'll have players, we'll have assistant coaches. So stay tuned here in how this football season is developing on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, presented by Meijer, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.